Hey, everybody. Welcome back to PT Tech Talk Podcast. This is episode 42, and I'm one of two co-hosts. I'm Dave Kittle, physical therapist and founder, CEO at Vinitial. Vinitial is a HIPAA texting app for patient provider and patient front desk communication, focusing on refilling your appointment slots that are on your schedule for tomorrow morning. Check out vinitial.healthcare for a little bit more. And as always, joined by my fellow co-host, Rob Vining, who is a physical therapist and the founder of PT Live, ptlive.me. And PT Live is a sweet live chat that's on your practice's website for patients to ask questions and find out more about your practice before they were to call in and commit and schedule an IE. So check that out at www.ptlive.me for more information. And tonight on PT Tech Talk episode 42, Rob and I only, no other guests tonight, we're going to be talking about a pre-panel episode. So next episode after this, 43, we're going to have some of our previous guests back on the podcast, maybe some new voices, maybe some new faces on the podcast to talk about projections and predictions for what will physical therapy be and what will physical therapy look like 10 years from now in 2027. So anyway, before we get into that, Rob, my co-host, what's up, man?
Ah, things are going good. This is getting a lot more traction than I actually thought. This started a few days ago. We're recording this. What is today? I don't even know what today is. Thursday, right? So April 6th. Yep. And I posted this on LinkedIn a couple of days ago and just kind of threw it out there talking about ideas for tech talk topics for physical therapy in the year 2027. So we got a lot of responses. I think I'm looking at it right now on LinkedIn, and we'll include the link in the show notes. So
perfect.
The big reason we're doing this episode specifically is because we want more feedback. We've got a large majority of more feedback than I expected, actually. 3,844 views so far for the post. And we've got a few questions here. I just wanted to kind of run over the questions that we've got so far and then have a little back and forth for a little bit. And then absolutely anybody else, if you want to join in the conversation and throw some questions our way, we'll see if we can include those in the panel on the upcoming episode on episode 43. We'll just jump right in, man. How's that sound?
Let's do it.
Perfect. All right. The first comment was from David Strait from eRehab. And he said, how will artificial intelligence factor into the delivery of physical therapy? And I thought that was really interesting right off the bat. I've been digesting multiple audiobooks on artificial intelligence. I think it's going to hit us faster than we think. And that was just funny that that was one of the first questions. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, so first, if you are new to this podcast and or maybe you're not that well-versed into technology, and even I am always learning from my co-host Rob and others, and we really consume a lot of information outside of physical therapy, outside of healthcare. And so first, I think let's quickly define artificial intelligence, Rob. So I think it's kind of hard to define like artificial intelligence. So AI, machine learning, things that, you know, even bots, like, you know, there's like Facebook Messenger bots and, you know, a bot that's in Slack. When you hear artificial intelligence, what's the first thing that comes to your mind in terms of if you were going to describe AI to like a practice owner or to a PT, like what would be a quick little example or a definition?
I would say that artificial intelligence is an algorithm that's created to take a lot of data and a lot of information and then learn to make a more efficient algorithm by using the data it gets to create the right answer. So for example, let's say that it's artificial intelligence that's looking at, risks for falls. So it takes in a bunch of data and a bunch of input and then can say, okay, this person is 65 years old. They take, you know, 10 different medications. They have poor vision. They may only be able to stand for a certain amount and they fall once or twice a month. Well, it's sort of similar to some of the verified tests or like a timed up and go score or a Tinetti test. It takes information and then predicts, okay, this is going to be the outcome. That's similar on a more digestible level of what AI is. It's just an algorithm that takes information and learns from that information and becomes more efficient at producing the right answers. Does that make
perfect.
Sense?
Perfect. I think that was great. I don't even think I can describe anything better. That was perfect. Yeah. So now my first impression after you described that very succinctly, now that I'm thinking about David Strait's question, who has all the data in physical therapy? EMRs, right? Yeah. Web PT clinician.
Right.
So I would say in 10 years from now, for David Strait's question, the people or the organizations and the groups that have the most data, the electronic medical records, the electronic health record companies would have or would be primed to, whether de-identified information or anonymous data, mm-hmm. or maybe alerting a practice and saying, like, this particular patient from like a year or two ago, you should maybe reach out to them.
Right.
Because based on the progress that was put into either Web PT or clinician or even like photo and some of these other like outcome measure and, yep. and data companies,
yep.
based on the performance of the initial evaluation, the progress evaluation, the discharge planning, like you said, the comorbidities, the diagnoses and vision and falls and strength mm-hmm. and all these, you know, subjective and objective factors.
Right.
I think could predict and use that information the best. What do you think?
Yeah. I think that's how it'll come into play is who is the optimal reactivated patient at what time? And that'll be pretty interesting. I wonder if, I shouldn't even wonder. I'm guessing if Web PT is looking on the horizon, they're probably already figuring out how to use that data to call patients and get them back in. I mean, that would just be a mind blower if somebody's had, you know, a shoulder injury and maybe they improved and got 70% better and then stopped coming and then they self-discharged. Let's say they're a bricklayer and they've got a shoulder that got 70% better. And then, you know, you have an email pop up saying, hey, you might want to, you know, contact this guy. It's been 2.5 months and all the numbers show and the data crunched together shows that this is about the time where that guy's going to possibly have another injury. And just
love
the fact that you'd be able to call and say, hey, how's your shoulder doing? And that's
and
funny you might ask.
Yeah, funny you might ask because it's actually just started to get sore. So yeah, whether they get an email or a phone call or maybe a message through Vinitial, because the EMR can talk to hopefully Vinitial in the future and then Vinitial to the patient and get it right on someone's smartphone. And it's like, boom.
Yep.
What if that data could predict or at least stay on the mind of that patient, and then maybe that patient has that shoulder pain like a month later. Like, where are they gonna go?
Right.
A month later, like they're gonna be like, oh, I just got pinged. I got an email, or I got an initial message, or the front desk of the local PT office called and left a voicemail,
right?
Just to see how I was doing, and now I have shoulder pain. So where am I gonna go? Like, exactly. And a lot of those things in the future will be automated.
Top of mind, yeah, and it could run right into an email marketing campaign. So something where the patient clicks and then they click a link that goes to a video talking about shoulder pain. Okay, now they've passed that second test and it puts them into an automated email system or reminder track to where it, you know, sends them an email every week or something like that. This is all how AI is going to be able to come in. So
perfect.
Let's see. Great. So next one. So we've got Ben Fung. So I love the heavy hitters who came in and just started talking right away on this. But Ben says, smart data and population health, by which value is defined by interventions prevented versus outcomes by which preventative care was failed. So this is kind of a deeper question. I think he's talking about almost along the same lines of looking at that data and information, almost like a preventative type of thing. Like we said, you ping somebody in 2.5 months, maybe they're just getting a little bit of shoulder pain versus waiting for them to contact you. You can prevent the old, oh, PT didn't work for me, by taking that data and information and trying to contact them. We'll have to ask Ben to dig into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the population health is like a really big, you know, growing interest, it seems like. Mike Eisenhardt, for example, does a lot of different stuff than a traditional PT. Like, he's more lifestyle, proactive, and everything else, physical therapy, healthcare, everything else is all reactive. It's like, you know, okay, you're hurt, and now we need to, first of all, ease that or improve that, and then get you stronger, and then, you know, then you might know what to do to maintain that. I think the biggest roadblock to any of these big discussions about population health, we talk about from now to 10 years from now, first, how can we get the large population to even understand what physical therapy is, that it's available, that you can go to Mike Eisenhardt or a different physical therapist, and he does like blood tests, and he communicates with physicians and labs, and I mean, that's a whole different experience than living your life and not having any real orthopedic issue and then having pain and then going to the reactive healthcare model.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's going to be a good point to dig into. David Grigsby, who's been on the show before, kind of said to Ben's point on smart data, how about in the future, collecting and using that data from improving patient care, a la photo, et cetera. And also, David was talking about any virtual reality rehab out there, and he's talking about telehealth. We know that telehealth is there. It's still really on the edges of physical therapy. We touch on it a little bit every now and then, but if you found a clinic with, you know, more than 25% of their caseload being telehealth, that would be pretty impressive. And I know Darwin is pushing on that with physio and his system.
Yep, Darwin Foat, right?
Yeah. So that'll be pretty interesting. Aaron LeBauer came in and said, will robots be able to apply manual therapy techniques as efficiently and as effectively as a human? And
in 10 years from now, the answer is no. I think he was being a little sarcastic with that because Aaron is a manual therapist, I believe. And he's also, before that, he was a massage therapist before he was a physical therapist.
Right.
So in 10 years, no.
Right.
Before we move on to whatever life is after this, it's possible.
Yeah, maybe. I responded and gave him that video link that before we started recording, looking at that actuator type of system that MIT had created a few years back, where it has a camera that will look at your hands going under the camera, and then on the other side of the computer, let's say a patient on the other side of the computer, the actuators and these little, I don't know how to describe them, almost like long rectangles make different shapes in a way that responds to what your hands are doing. So
they're almost like vertical piano keys.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to, because we're on a podcast, and if you don't watch the video, you got to hear this. So
right,
I want to describe
it. Yeah, it's super interesting. I'll have to put that in the show notes as well, because that is one of the most interesting things that, like, I was looking for that, and it took me about an hour to find, but it's really interesting. It'll blow your mind when you see it, because you can see, okay, I put my hands under the camera on my side, and on the other side, it looks like some, almost like, what do they call that? It's like Minecraft. Legos. Minecraft.
Okay. Yeah.
So it almost looks like, it almost looks like Minecraft on the other side, with those little vertical piano keys moving up and down. But there's some place for that in therapy. I can feel it. There's something with that that's going to come about with the whole telehealth section and virtual reality.
The hardest thing with VR or any, you know, it's like if there's hardware involved, then it's going to be so much longer for it to get to people. So even like the Microsoft Kinect, and we had an on from before from Reflection Health. And I mean, when you have to rely on hardware or even somebody else, another company's platform, like another company's digital product,
right?
I think that is just going to push things out further. I think it would be a lot better and more convenient and adopt faster if it were something just through the phone. Think of holding out your phone and through the whole Pokemon craze.
Yeah.
And then you're seeing, I mean, that was, some people thought it was silly, but it made millions. So, they were laughing to the bank. So no, but it got a lot of people up and walking that usually don't, like a lot of gamers, and people were losing weight and people were feeling better and moving.
Yep.
I think, but again, that can only go so far to go back to Aaron LeBauer, like going to deliver manual therapy, hands-on treatment. And I think we're really, really far away from any of that, where there's either, like you said, like the accentuator or any type of device that could move or adjust like a spine or anything like that. I think we're not even close to that.
Yeah. And I think that the best thing that we can look at for where to pull our technology is going to be through gamers. So you look at gaming systems like the movable 360-degree Omni treadmill. I commented somewhere in this LinkedIn post talking about different types of treadmills. It provides the safety of a harness, and it's an omnidirectional treadmill. So think about slapping on some VR goggles, and you're on one of these omnidirectional treadmills, and at the same time, you have the safety of the... It's like a ring that goes around, and you're stepping into a harness on this 360-degree treadmill. at the same time, you can, you know, do a ball toss, or, you know, if you're in an outpatient setting and you're doing a single leg ball toss off a trampoline and you're having to react and respond, something similar to that in the virtual reality field, that will probably come along a lot faster. Just like with home health, you can get the delivery of a Hoyer lift, or you can get the delivery of a hospital bed or an air mattress. There's going to be companies that will deliver these types of devices to make telehealth / home health a reality. So instead of, you know, me driving an hour and a half to see one patient and then spending another hour and a half to come home, I can do it from my office and the patient is in a safe environment. I think the biggest thing that's going to be needed first is some sort of qualification test or something that says, okay, this patient is a prime candidate for having home health with some sort of omnidirectional safe treadmill. That might be the first thing that has to be determined before any of that goes out. It's almost like when they send an air mattress out, they won't do it until you have a wound, which is the dumbest thing in the world. But that's the qualifier for having a low flow air mattress sent to your house to prevent further wounds, is you have to have a wound. So some sort of qualifier.
Again, reactive.
Exactly. Reactive. Let's jump into another question, unless you have any comments on that.
No, that was it.
Okay. Let's see. Megan Lowry, she's from Australia. We chatted a little bit the other day. She says, okay, communication platforms, aka Vinitial, improves, how will the price of our services reflect the time we invest in monitoring and interacting with our clients outside of their scheduled appointments? That opens up a good can of worms, because she was talking about, okay, if, you know, they need to talk to you for 2 minutes, do you charge for that? If they want to talk to you for 20 minutes, do you charge for that? That's something that we'll have to look into. That's probably one of the, I don't know, take on that topic if you can, Dave. What do you think about that one?
So there might be physical therapists that charge for it, just like there's some attorneys that might charge for a 2 minute phone call or a 5 minute phone call, because they're going to do, you know, very strict billable hours. So if it's not billed through insurance in the future, then there might be physical therapists that that start to try to bill patients out of pocket, maybe after the first phone call or the first email or the first initial message or something like that.
Right.
And then of course, on the other side of the spectrum, physical therapists, healthcare providers that are going to be a little bit more accessible and know that that's going to be part of their role and part of their job. Just like filling out documentation and completing the paperwork is part of the job description.
Right.
Moving forward, communication and accessibility, hopefully, you know, through Vinitial or any other means, will be part of the job description, because that will be the norm.
Yeah, that's a great
point. So whether they bill for it or not, that's totally up to them.
Right, yep. It's going to have to be almost like finding that fine line. Yeah, good points. Another question, Jerry. So Jerry says, PT in 2027 is going to be completely different. He said, the same skills utilized in a more efficient manner that highlights our listening skills and reasoning skills before people even hit the clinic. So that's a great point. It's almost like we've been in an echo chamber as physical therapists for a long time. Almost like an echo chamber with multiple echo chambers in it. Let's say you're McKinsey based, or you know, you're strict Mulligan, or all these other different types of skill sets. You can be in a small little echo chamber where your way is the only way, and then you're, you know, telling other PTs how, no, that's not the way to do things. Within that echo chamber is all of PT. And all of PT, no matter what skill set you have, we have to focus on listening, because that's number one thing that differentiates us from all other healthcare providers, or the majority of them, is our time that we have with our patients. We have an excessive amount of time. So just like Jerry said, that is probably going to be a main focus, not even in 2027. I'm talking about, you know, 2018, our main focus.
Yeah, ASAP.
Shift, yeah, is communication and listening to the patients. Because once you can listen to them, you'll actually figure out how to assess them the best way possible. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, so Jerry Durham, I would say that's going to be huge. And how do we get in front of, you know, how do owners and how do clinics, more of them, get in front of practice? I'm sorry, get in front of more prospective patients. Mm-hmm. They have to be where prospective patients are, which is where every consumer is, which is Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube. Yeah. I mean, YouTube is the biggest, second largest search engine. Really quick side note, do you know what the third largest search engine is in the world? So we have Google, then YouTube.
Let's see, Wikipedia?
Oh, it's a good question. I mean, a good guess, no. And it's not Bing, and it's not Yahoo.
Not Bing, not Yahoo? Facebook?
Good question. Good guess. It's actually Amazon.
Really? Wow. Yes.
Okay. So now, how can you leverage that?
Right.
To get in front of what Jerry's saying, get in front of these patients, these prospective patients in your area, Ron Miller, Orlando, Florida, you know, Rob Vining up in Portland, Oregon. Right. How can you on Amazon? Well, either write eBooks or write, you know, and publish very cheaply, publish hardcover books. Then you can be the best physical therapist in New York City or the best physical therapist in Orlando, Florida. And where are most prospective patients? Like all of those platforms that we just mentioned.
Yeah.
Including like if you want to hire somebody in the future, it's going to be more searches on Amazon.
Yeah. Because
you want to find out who's the most legit person. So also YouTube, I want to see who's like the best, you know, physical therapist in Florida. And I get a whole bunch of videos with that person, that physical therapist who I might meet. And then also their research or their, you know, books that they might have written and information and content from them. Third largest search engine in the world, Amazon.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But that's fairly easy to, because physical therapy is not, like if you just typed in something like, let's say knee replacement, right? So if you made a product or made some sort of a book about how to recover from a knee replacement, you can get up to the top of search results fairly quickly through Amazon. I know from experience from making a product with that specific topic in mind.
There you go.
I was able to create it, put it on Amazon, sell the product, and be on the very first page when a patient searched knee replacement. I was able to get to that point within about 1 month. So it's fairly easy to get to that point because it's such a drilled down niche that patients who have that specific injury are going to be looking for on Amazon. So yeah, that's a great point. Great topic to talk about for sure. Let's see. He's also said on the Facebook comment for this one, he said, I see the profession taking a leadership role, developing wearable tech that integrates instantaneously central nervous system status related to task-specific activities and exposure inside and outside the clinic. So that's kind of taking that's a big chunk.
That is a lot. And Heza was one of our previous guests on the podcast. He's at Moana at Cambia Physio. I would say that's probably further than 10 years out because I'm just, as a consumer, I'm looking at, let's just look at the adoption of, I don't have it on right now, but the Apple Watch or Fitbit, right?
Right.
So Fitbit just recently added like a social feed and like, you know, you can have like in better competitions with like a group within Fitbit of like 10 people that all have Fitbits. And then you have like challenges based on who has the most steps per day.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's going to take a company to design a wearable that is mass market and has the ability to track vitals.
Right.
I mean, yeah. He said something about the central nervous system. I don't know. What do you got to put like cerebral spinal fluid in it? Like, what do you have to track that? But you know, like heart rate, blood pressure, pulse ox maybe. I mean, but I feel like hopefully we could be surprised in 10 years, but I feel like something like that, that tracks the vitals of an individual. I don't think the mass market is there yet.
Yeah. And we've also got to figure out how well that can be used. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you've got to get over the hurdle of white coat syndrome. So let's say you've got this monitor on, it's going to create some sort of anxiety for the person wearing that monitor. So I guess it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for patients, probably the older population specifically, about wearing these monitors and what it means. And, you know, it's not harmful. It's just collecting that data that allows, you know, X, Y, and Z. So it almost comes back to Jerry's comment about listening and having that communication aspect with a patient. I don't know. I've been surprised before, but yeah, a good 10 years out, I could see that being a possibility for sure in the future.
There was the one comment on LinkedIn from Jamie Schreier.
Yeah, got it right here. Yep.
Previous practice owner, he sold his two clinics down in like the Maryland area.
Mm-hmm. Jamie says, here's a thought. What happens when telemedicine becomes more widespread and PTs, as well as other healthcare professionals, are available to provide advice and care using technology? And he goes into it a little further. He says, your competition isn't down the street anymore, and this is in 2027. It can be 3,000 miles away, creating a relationship with a healthcare provider. And then it's talking about a little deeper that the practice owner will be blindsided by the invisible competitor. They'll be too busy struggling to manage the day-to-day. Just a thought. And that's an excellent comment.
So right off the bat, as of now, I know we're talking about 10 years from now. So as of right now, the laws and regulations of telehealth, you have the provider and the patient have to be in the same state. Now, he's talking about competition 3,000 miles away. So Jamie's talking about within 10 years, there could be, you know, we could get rid of that law or regulation where the practice owner in New York does not have to have a license in every state to get any of these prospective patients across the country to have consults, education, tips, anything that's over telehealth or telemedicine.
Yeah.
In 10 years from now, I think that's totally possible.
Yep.
Whether it's the universal licensure or it's something that specifically is for telemedicine or telehealth where that's lifted and then you can, because guess what? An owner, like Jamie said, an owner that thought they had competition just down the street.
Yeah.
And then you have to think about competition like statewide. Uh-huh. I mean, forget it if you have to think about competition nationwide, because guess what? If that is the case, then rewind this podcast. So when I said, who's the best physical therapist on YouTube or Amazon writing books, because that is, those are the PTs or the doctors or the nutritionists or the dietitians or the trainers that consumers will go to.
Right. And that flows right into another former guest, Brian Stewart. He made a comment about tech's role with social media influencers. And he's talking about guys like Gary Vee talk about the role of influencers with selling. Could their role with some topics listed above shift healthcare? And specifically, like we were just talking about, telehealth. If you're a social media master and you're a PT and you're out there giving advice and giving away information and validating yourself as somebody who can teach others to help themselves and not trying to just put out information as a lead magnet, but actually putting out information to help others treat themselves without ever seeing you, you then become the master and the guru that they look for in the future, because they're going to come back, oh, I sprained an ankle. I'll just watch this video that Dave did. It's a 5-minute video, and look, I did the stuff he said. I'm better. Awesome. Well, guess what happens when I hurt my shoulder, you know, a year from now? Top of mind, Dave helped me in a 5-minute video, and I didn't even have to do anything other than watch that video. So I think Brian's question is perfect in his comment talking about social media influencers. We're going to have to be that way in the future. I made a, what was that? That picture that I made that was like the future of physical therapy. And it had that cross that was talking about people that give away information to find those people that want to treat themselves. They'll look at that information and then they'll always remember you in the future as the person that helped them. Even if you have no idea who they are, you're still the one that's top of mind.
And if we're talking about 10 years from now, then I don't think we have to worry about liability and, you know, for any of these remote clients or patients, because you have to have your patients in the office sign off on, you know, previous warnings or liability and risk, and all of that is already, you know, discussed. And so as long as those, you know, terms and conditions are identified and signed off and the client or the prospective patient agrees to that, then I do think this could be a huge thing. Like even Kelly Starrett, the mobility wad, like he's already doing a lot of this with these daily videos, and he's talking about, you know, mobilizing an ankle or stretching this and that, or, you know, loosening up this or that.
Right.
That's, I mean, a lot of this is already, I don't know what he does. Like maybe somehow, because if you consume that video publicly, then is there any risk or liability? But I think a lot of that will get ironed out within 10 years. And I love that question from Brian Stewart, because that is exactly what probably will happen, which is first, rather than it used to be what our parents told us, which is you have to go to the doctor first. Mm-hmm. And right now we're in this like get PT first range, which is like, we want to be the first healthcare provider for any of these issues.
Right.
10 years from now, before you even leave the house, or, you know, if you just pull up your smartphone or computer, what comes up first? And and someone might go virtually to a physio or something like that first, and then somewhere in office to a physical therapist.
Yeah. It seems like it's going to be the same way in the disruption that Amazon completely obliterated brick and mortar businesses with their ability to have everything you could possibly think of. And oh, by the way, if you're an Amazon Prime member, 2 days later, it's at your doorstep. I can't imagine the numbers and the statistics. It's got to look like a huge kid's slide on a playground, looking at the numbers of people walking into a store now versus 10, 20 years ago. It's just a massive decline because Amazon is there and it's so convenient. Convenience is going to be the key to picking up new patients and being able to be out there, just like Brian was talking about. That's going to be huge. So yeah, I totally agree with that.
A side note, Amazon is about to open up their second physical bookstore in New York City.
Oh, really?
But I think it's only like higher end books, and they can, because they already killed off brick and mortar. Barnes & Noble's on the ropes. Borders is out of business.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Books A Million is on the ropes. And so what if that's 10 years from now, which is, you know, these organizations that could potentially have just telehealth companies and then get a massive following and then open up urgent clinics or physio offices and all that.
Right.
As opposed to starting the original brick and mortar shingle, and you have to, you know, market to physicians or market online, but you're just doing all the work. You're working in the business rather than working on the business.
Yep. What about this? AI and all the little manual actuators and a 360 little treadmill inside a small kiosk.
In a mall.
Everywhere, yeah. And you can just step in and say, I have this, this, and this, and you pick it on a touch screen, and then you sit down, you get the education, you get the manual therapy from that little hands-on actuator right there. If we're not careful, somebody could come along and make this a reality. I think that's one of those 20-year down the road type of situations. But still, if we can jump out ahead of this as a profession, we can be there. We've got the time. That's the thing. We have the time with the patient. That's the most important part that nobody else in the medical system, maybe besides massage therapists or a personal trainer, but we have the time and we have the higher level education that puts us at the forefront to be that first layer care provider. So it'll be an interesting question. What do you think? Is that a good enough round of topics?
I think that was a ton of topics. Yeah. And I think this will be a great intro to our next episode, which is having some previous and some maybe new faces and voices from PT Tech Talk podcast, and having them field those questions and those thoughts. Because I think the more that we, like you said, get out in front of this, we can't do that unless we actually spur a lot more of this discussion.
Yep.
Because you're right, if we don't, then maybe another group in healthcare might do this or something like that.
Yep.
Or it just doesn't get done at all, and then, you know, we're behind the eight ball 10 years from now.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Awesome. I think that would be a great place to wrap up. If you have any questions for us, you can shoot Rob an email, rob@ptlive.me. Again, PT Live, check it out, www.ptlive.me. And I am dave@vinitial.com if you want to shoot me a note. I will not give out my cell phone number, but you can text me on Vinitial if you're interested on iOS. www.vinitial.healthcare, and soon we'll be migrating back to vinitial.com. Check that out if you're interested. And for Rob and I here at PT Tech Talk Podcast, thanks a lot for hanging around. Next episode is going to be big. A lot of faces, a lot of names coming back. So for Rob and I here at PT Tech Talk, this is episode 42. Thanks a lot for joining us. Thanks.
Perfect.